You ever feel trapped? Anybody? You ever feel there's no way out? You know, it's just like everywhere you turn, it's just like, how do I get out of here? You know, I want to say, man, I'm glad to see all of you here, and appreciate you having time to be with us this morning. I want to say this is an awesome church. If you guys need to know how awesome this church is, just to kind of let you pray for people. We're trying to minister and serve. And yesterday, about 20 of us got together and had a prayer time for Salida. Some of us rode bicycles around Salida in the neighborhoods and prayed in the various neighborhoods of Salida. Some walked to various neighborhoods in Salida and did some prayer. Some drove to our school and prayed around the various schools in Salida and prayed in those parking lots of our schools. And then some of us walked all the way around Salida and prayed. And so I want to say, you know, this church is a special place. And I want you to know I appreciate you guys and the privilege to be your pastor. And it's an honor to be your pastor when you guys, it's not about us and it's not about who we are. It's about our community and trying to reach our community. And so I appreciate you giving the time to be here. And if this is your first Sunday here in a few weeks, I started a series a few weeks ago called A Way Out. I've been preaching on temptation that there's things in our life that we wish we did different. There's things in our life that we wish we didn't do. There's, you know, those things in our life that we try to figure out, why do I keep doing this? And we wrestle with those issues in our life. Those little battles in our life, we wrestle with them. Those things, that behavior, those thoughts, those activities, those addictions that just kind of, you know, we wish we could change. And it seems like we just can't. You know, I just can't help myself. It's the way I'm made. It's just the way life is. I can't control my, and we wrestle with this. And so several weeks ago, we began a series of messages based on this verse. Let me encourage you to get your outline out. And it's kind of based on this verse right here in Corinthians. And it's kind of built on this one verse. It says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except that is common to mankind. It's saying we're all tempted. You know, if you are human, you will be tempted. You know, if you live and breathe in today's world, you will be tempted. There is temptations that come at you. But God is, now who you guys, who, those who've been with me for a while, God is what? Say it a little louder. God is faithful. God is always faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will always provide a way out. That's been the whole theme of the message series. This is the fourth one in this. There's always going to be a way out, but when you're tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it, that you're going to get through it. All right? Sometimes you got to go through them, that you're going to get the strength, the wisdom, the power to endure them. And so we've been looking at how we wrestle with this, and because as human beings, we're going to be tempted. Things on the internet, things on our phone, we're going to be tempted. Tempted to spend money, eat donuts. I like donuts. I think somebody said it was donut. There was a donut day this week. Anybody? I think there was a donut day this week. And I didn't get one on donut day, but I did have one on Thursday. I did have one on Friday. I did have one yesterday. And just so you know, I did have one this morning too. You know? And, you know, we have these battles. You know, I'm more than willing to say I'm a sugar fiend. I used to drink a gallon. I was raised on tea. I'm from Oklahoma. We're from the South. We're Okies. And I was raised on tea. And in a gallon of tea, I put 2 cups of sugar in a gallon of tea. That's you know, Lord got me down to 1 cup. I started just doing 1 cup. Now it's about 2/3 of a cup of sugar. You know, I'm, you know, spice drops, jelly, orange slices, you know. I'm a sugar addict. And yet I need to, you know, when you weigh 135 pounds, 165 pounds, that's not bad. But when you start getting over that, I'm not gonna tell you how much I weigh now, but when I start getting over that, it's like I gotta watch that sugar intake. You know? And I want to, but there's donuts in the refrigerator. Temptation, you know, those pop-ups pop up on your screen. You know, let's get a little, you know, those pop-ups. You know, you're trying to get your under control, and you're trying to get those bills paid off, and you want to live out of debt because you just want to feel better about your finances. And and the ad from Kohl's comes, and you rip off the tag, and it says you got a 30% off now. Come on now, some of you guys know what I'm talking about. And if you don't get one, I know you ladies call one. My wife's calling some of you. What'd you get? What'd you get? You know, I only got a 10. Well, I got a 30. Okay, let's go together. You know, can I borrow it? You know, I'm going to get my finances under control, and then you got to go to, you know, or you go to Costco. To me, that's the biggest impulse buying store there is. Yeah. You walk around Costco, and it's like, yeah, I need that 100-pound bag of tea. You know? And we have these battles, you know? Social media, you know? And I watch people. They cannot go sit down at a restaurant without pulling their phone out and checking something. Anybody been around them? You know? We have these addictions. We have these things that, you know, I wish I just didn't do that. Laura and I used to do that. We'd have Bible study on Monday night, and then we'd go over to In-N-Out. And the first thing we'd do, she'd go up and order. While she's ordering the food, I got my phone out. Okay, what's going on? Then she comes and sit down and pulls her phone out. We don't even talk to one another. And we made a decision. We're not going to do that anymore. And it's hard because your phone goes beep, beep. You know, how many remember answering machines? You know, somebody calls you now and you don't answer the phone. They're wondering what happened. Used to be, well, they'll call me tonight when they get home from work. Anybody? You know, we live in this world where temptation, looking at things we really shouldn't be looking at, going to places we really don't want to go, but we end up there because we have this nature in us that just kind of pulls us and just kind of draws us that way. You know. And what's interesting is we can fight that for a while. You know, I'm wrong for a while. Anybody? You know, you have this battle and you're going, I can do this. I can get through this. And you do good for day one and day two, but it just kind of wears on you. You know, it just keeps coming at you, and it just keeps coming at you, and it's like, you know, and it just kind of wears on you. And then finally you get, oh, forget it. I'm just going to go ahead. You know, how do we fight this? How do we deal with it? And here God is saying, I'm faithful. God is faithful, and there will always be a way. Have you ever felt trapped like there was no way out? I want to say there's a way out. So we've been looking at various things and battling various things. And last week we began looking and we looked at this passage right here. Look at what it says. And so I walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If I walk by the Spirit, I will not gratify those desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires that is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. He says there's a battle in us. You know, here's the picture for me. I don't know about you. Some of you know I'm a Disney fanatic and kind of crazy. I always remember this cartoon with Pluto in it. And he's got a cat that he has trouble with his cat. He gets thrown out of the house because of the cat. Anybody know that cartoon? Come on now. Don't say I'm the only one. And so he gets thrown out of the house because of this cat. Well, that ends up in the well, you know, down in this well, and it's drowning. And so Pluto's looking over at the cat, and on this side of him is a little miniature Goofy with a halo. And on this side of him is a little miniature Goofy with a Triton, you know, one of those pitchfork things, you know. And this guy's going, leave him alone, he got you thrown out of the house. And this guy's going, you got to be kind, it's a poor little kitty cat, you know. And he's got this, you ever feel that conflict? You know, you're wrestling with these things that are sitting before you, and you don't want to. You want to make changes, and you got this conflict. And that's what it's describing. But here's what it says. When that conflict's going on, it says, I say, walk by the Spirit. Why don't you circle that, walk by the Spirit, those very first few words there. In the midst of that conflict, in the midst of that battle, if you walk by the Spirit, you can fight it. Because who's fighting? The Spirit. The flesh is weak. I've always remembered this. I'm up at camp one time, and we had a speaker come on and talk to the youth, and they're talking about staying pure and living a godly life. And one of the kids were talking, and one of the kids says, well, I'm smart enough not to get a girl pregnant. And I said, well, you ever seen a smart girl pregnant? And it kind of like, Yeah. Because we think we can handle it. Anybody? I've got this under control. I can deal with those desires. I can deal with those addictions. I've got this. But we're human. We have these battles. And so we got to walk by the Spirit. So I wrote it this way. If you look at your outline, you got two blanks to fill in real quick. What you feed grows, and what you starve dies. Whatever you feed will grow bigger and stronger. And whatever you starve will grow weaker and eventually die. And that's kind of what we have to realize. Whatever we feed, if I feed my fleshly desires, they're going to grow bigger and stronger. If I feed my spiritual walk, that spiritual spirit, I will grow stronger spiritually. Anybody give testimony to that? Anybody can say, I know how that works, that the closer I get to God, the easier it is not to sin, the easier it is to see the way out. And we see that, and so we need to understand as we wrestle with that. And so that's what I want us to concentrate. Last week, we kind of looked at the idea of starving the flesh. If you remember that, we talked about running away and staying away and starving those fleshy desires. This week, I want to talk about feeding our spirit. I want to look at feeding our spirit. I found an interesting study. Professor up in Vancouver, I wrote his name down, Bruce Alexander, did a study on rats. He put these rats in cages, and he gave them two choices of water. You had water, just pure water, and then you had water laced with cocaine. And he put these rats in these cages with water and water laced with cocaine. 100%, 100%, not a few, not some, 100% of those rats in those cages drank the water laced with cocaine until it overdosed. 100%, not some, not a few, 100%. That brain, that feeding ourselves, it's about us, and they just kept going for that water and going for that water laced with cocaine until they overdosed. And so he wrote an article about overdosing and addiction and how that's part of our brain is very addictive, and it will draw us and pull us in. That's that human nature, that temptation. But then he went like this. He's going, well, that really didn't answer my question. That's not just two choices we have. What about this? And so he created a Disneyland for rats. All right. He called it a rat park. And he put spinning tunnels and cheese and all sorts of stuff in this rat park for these rats. Interesting study. 100% did not become addicted to the cocaine in the water. Because they were pursuing, they had opportunities for other things. See, the problem with us is we kind of live in a world where all that temptation is there, and we don't see what else is available for us. We don't see what else can feed us. We don't see what else can call us. I want us to think about that this morning. What is it we can do? What is it I can do so that when temptation comes, there will always, always, be a way out? Yeah. I want to give you three things, and I I'm going to say this. I'll give you three things that will guarantee a way out of every temptation in your life. Matter of fact, three things. That's all. If you concentrate on these three things in your life, it can change your life. That when those things, you know, that thing you don't want to do, you're sitting there right now, and some of you are going, there's things in your life you don't want to do. You're tired of it. You're fed up with it. I don't want to go there anymore. I'm tired of going there anymore. But you get up tomorrow morning, and guess what? It's right there in your face, right? Well, I want to tell you, there's three things that can help you fight that fight, that God will give you a way out, and you'll see it, and you'll feel it, and you'll experience it when you practice these three things. So here's what I want to make you a deal this morning. I'm going to give you three things, and I want you to pick one you're willing to work on, okay? I don't want you to pick all three, because you do. I don't know about you. You know, I'm going to lose weight. and I commit myself. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to da-da-da-da-da-da-da. How long does that last? Yeah, 30 seconds. Yeah. So I'm going to, you know, right now, I'm just going to concentrate. Here's what I'm doing right now. I'm not exercising too much. I'm trying to eat right. Now, how well am I doing? I had donuts 4 days. I'm not doing too well. But that's what I'm trying to eat right. And then I'm going to, you know, I walk and I'm trying. So here's what I'm going to do. At the end of the message, I'm going to ask you to pick one of these three. So get ready. I'll give you a little warning. You might get a little nervous because I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I want you to make a commitment because I want you to walk out of here prepared to deal with that thing in your life you hate. I want you to walk out of here confident that I'm going to find a way out of this. I'm tired of this. I don't want to go there no more. I'm just fed up with this in my life. And I want you to be able to say there's a way out. So I'm going to give you three things that you can work on that will help you find your way out. And if you're looking at your outline, it starts with this. Feed your spirit with prayer. Feed your spirit with prayer. You need to take time to pray. You need time with God. If you want to grow stronger and you want to feed that spiritual nature, you need to take time with God. Let me put it this way. Some of you in here are married, right? Anybody in here married? A few of you? If you want your marriage to get stronger, do you think you need to spend time with your spouse? Because if you don't spend time with your spouse, will your marriage get weaker? See, you got to feed it. You got to feed it. And if I'm stronger with my relationship with God, guess what I got to do? I got to spend time with God. I need to pray. Even Jesus, I want to think, when you think about this, even Jesus prayed. And he was God. And he prayed. What's your prayer life like? You know, as we're dealing with life and we're dealing with our situation, we're dealing with our struggles, we're dealing with those battles, what's our prayer life like? Look at what Jesus said, is that he was faced with a very challenging time in his life. Hours before his death, he told his disciples this: watch and pray. Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. Now see, if you're not a believer, that sounds kind of ridiculous. If you haven't crossed that invisible line that some of you hear me talk about all the time, and you haven't given your life to God, and you know, you haven't reached the point in how I say this all the time, that I'm tired of doing things my way, God, I want to do them yours, come my life and take control. You know, you can shake a preacher's hand, you can tell, oh, I believe in God, or I was baptized, you can have all that. But until you begin that relationship with God, God, I'm doing things my way, I want to do them yours, come into my life and take control. This won't mean anything to you. It's like, well, that's just Christian stuff. But if you're a believer, it matters, doesn't it? Prayer matters. Prayer makes a difference. And we need to see that, and we need to understand that. That prayer makes a difference. When Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray, remember they said, teach us to pray. Anybody know the Lord's Prayer? Anybody remember? I'm going, how many of us remember the Lord's Prayer? Well, I got a few of you here. Yeah. They got that little part in that prayer. Remember? And lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Lead me not into temptation. Now, when you first heard that, it's like, well, God doesn't lead anybody into temptation, right? You need to understand. It's written right there. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil in Matthew 6:13. We're going to be tempted. It's there. But God doesn't, let me make sure, God doesn't lead us into temptation. What leads me into temptation is my fleshly nature. Anybody on board with that one? Who's my worst enemy? I'm my worst enemy. I tell you guys all the time, nobody needs to get Gary in trouble. I can't blame my wife for all my troubles. It'd be nice if I could, but I can't. I've got myself in trouble. I don't need any help from any of you to get in trouble. You know, I have that, what's that cow disease? Hoof and mouth. I put my foot in my mouth all the time. You know, I don't need any help to find trouble. That's that fleshly desire. But here God's going to not lead us into temptation. I want to make sure you know, God doesn't lead us into temptation. I put a verse here just to make sure I emphasize it. Let no one say when he's tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. We're never tempted by God. So I want to make sure when you read that, God, don't lead me into temptation. Really what he's saying is there's an idiom. Anybody ever know what a word idiom is? If you're an actor, break a leg. Do you really want that actor to break his leg? You ever hear somebody say, you can't have your cake and eat it too? Yeah. Those are called idioms because they're just putting these phrases together. What kind of, this is one of those Jewish idioms. And it's kind of saying like this, don't allow me to be led in temptation. That's what he's trying to say. You know, don't let me be beyond what I can bear. You know, it is what he's praying here. See, we need to pray, and we need to seek God about temptation. We need to have that relationship with God. Here's what happens for most of us, and I say us, that means me. You know when I pray? After I'm in trouble. Anybody? Yeah? We go along, and we keep going along. We keep cruising right on through, and everything's okay, everything's okay. And then we start getting ourselves in trouble. Like, I got this. You know, I can handle this. I'm going to get, and then pretty soon we're in so deep, it's like, I got to pray now. Anybody in that boat? You know, well, what I'm saying is we need to start praying before the trouble. You need to start praying every morning. You need to have time to pray and to spend with God. Look again, it says, I put it here, I put this verse here twice because I want to make sure you got it. Watch and pray. Doesn't mean you have to close, you have to close your eyes every time to pray. No. You have to pray an hour? Can you pray one word? Those who went out walking with me yesterday, we walked, we came back here, we had a meeting at the church. Guess what? Some of them didn't think they were going to have to pray. Ha, 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 you're with Gary. Yeah. They didn't have to pray much, but at the very end, everybody had to pray at least one word. I don't care. I do that with Awana kids in our class. Lisa and I have a great time with our Awana. We have and if I forget, they remind us. Oh, we got to pray. But they'll only pray one word. That's okay. We need to pray. It doesn't matter how long, how short. We need to pray. We need to spend time with God. You know, I define prayer in two ways based on Scripture. There's a time, if you go back into Chronicles, where it says, he who humbles himself face. And prays. And they pray. And so there's a time when you humble yourself. There's a time to get on your knees. You need to know that. There's a time to get on your knees and you pray. You're getting older. Maybe you can sit down, okay? You know, don't lay down, because if you lay down, you're going to fall asleep. All right? But there's a time when you spend some concentrated time praying. But then Paul also says, pray without ceasing. And there's a time you just have an attitude of prayer. You're just praying. You're walking around and something flashes across your head and you go, God, help me. God, deliver me. God, be with me. God, watch. God, help. It's praying. I like that verse. Look again at what it says here. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Anybody ever fall into temptation besides me? Let me ask you this one. Anybody falseness? Well, I was just wandering along and all of a sudden I fell into being holy. Isn't that amazing? We fall into temptation, but we have to work to be holy. Am I right? Yeah. I think we need to see this. You know, God, I'm working at prayer. Can prayer be work? Yes. Take time to pray. Short, long, but I'm going to give you one word, specific. All right? Pray specific, to the point. I was visiting with a lady yesterday. After walking around, Laura and I, we walked around. We prayed on the corners. We prayed here and there. We prayed all over. We prayed for a homeless camp down on Salida Boulevard. We prayed everywhere. And we didn't, it's like, I thought we were going to pray 4 or 5 times. No, we prayed probably 8, 10 times. I don't know. But meeting, retirement dinner, and I'm talking with a young lady, and Her family's been devastated by breast cancer. She had it years ago, and now her mom's come back to her mom. Both her sisters and her aunt right now all have. I told her, send me an email and I'll be praying for you. We need to be people of prayer. We need to take time to pray. We need to spend that time with God. We need to have a passion for prayer. So here's my question for you. Is that what right now? To grow, to build that strength, to turn your back on that temptation, do you need to make prayer that priority? That, you know what? That's going to be the one I pick, is prayer. I need to be and to spend more time praying. How about the second one I put down here? Feed your spirits with God's word. Feed your spirit with God's word. I like what David said here as he's wrestling with Psalms 119:9. How can a young man keep his way pure? You ever ask yourself that way? That kind of a question? How can I keep doing what's right? How can I stay on the right path? How can I make the right choices? How can I be wise? You ever ask yourself a question like that? How can I do that? I love the way David says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. You want to grow strong spiritually? You want to feed your spiritual soul so it grows stronger and starve the flesh so it grows weaker and dies? Spend some time in God's word. Spend some time reading God's word. I'm walking by and I'm living by according to your word. How many in this world live by what feels good? What do you read in the newspapers? What do you read in see on TV? Well, it feels right. It feels good. Political correctness, culture, my friends. Well, they did it here on Facebook. What do you know? Some of us got kids. What would you do with your kids going, well, all my friends did it. Well, then go jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, right? Anybody remember telling your kids that one? Would you follow them off the Golden Gate Bridge? You know? See, we live in a world where, well, what are your friends doing? Well, all my friends were doing it. We need to live by a different standard. And so we need to live by the Word of God. So we need to plant the Word of God in our heart. Isn't that what that verse says? We need to put the Word of God in our heart. We need to store the Word of God in our heart. That means, I'm going to give you a big word that you do not like. I hear it all the time. The word is called memorize. You know what your first response is? I can't memorize. Am I right? As soon as I said memorize, you're going, I can't memorize. Am I right? I mean, But I bet most of you, if I ask you, tell me the words of a song. Just pick a song, any song. How many of you have a song memorized? Yeah. You can tell me a word of a song, couldn't you? But I can't memorize the Bible, but I know all those songs. My wife and I are going to be in the car driving up to see our granddaughter promote this week. And so we'll drive up Highway 5 and we'll have the radio on. And 3 or 4 words into that song, she'll tell me what that song is. That's boom. 3 or 4 words, she knows these songs. What about the Word of God? Now, just so you know, my wife's good with the Word of God, too, okay? She beats me up with it all the time. But see, we need to be storing the Word of God in our hearts. We need to be preparing for battle with the Word of God in our hearts. See, that's our tool. Look at what it says here, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit of its joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of our heart. You might underline that part. Thoughts and intentions of our heart. It's going to discern the thoughts and intentions of our heart. We need to be putting the word of God in our lives. We need to be spending time in the word of God. It's our tool. It's our resource. When Jesus was tempted, guess what he did? Jesus got baptized. After he got baptized, he went out into the wilderness. While he's out in the wilderness, guess who shows up? Satan. Satan goes, I know you're hungry. You've been out here a few days and you haven't eaten. I know you're hungry. Why don't you turn that rock into bread? And see, God had challenged Jesus to several days. And David and Jesus goes, well, man doesn't live by bread alone. And he says, well, hey, let's come up here. Come up here. Stand over here and look at this. And just throw yourself off. Prove you're God. And when you land on your feet, anybody, you're like a cat, always lands on their feet, You throw yourself off. You'll land nice and soft. And people will worship you because they've seen and they'll call you God. He says, don't tempt the Lord thy God. Then he says, worship me. Every time Jesus quoted scripture to defeat. And what I want to challenge you with is memorize God's word. Memorize a word that you can use to fight the battle you're in. Whatever that addiction is, whatever that want that you need to change, whatever that behavior that you hate, whatever it is, get a word of God that you can use as a tool that when Satan comes up and pulls it out, you can just pull out your sword and go, slice that temptation all up because you have the word of God in your heart. See, it's our sword. Right the way it talks about here in Ephesians, it talks about the armor of God. If you're familiar with the book of Ephesians chapter 6, it describes the battle we're in. It talks about the helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, a belt of truth, your feet of faith. It has this description, your shield and all of this. And you get one offensive weapon. One offensive weapon. It's a sword. Look at what it says. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. See, I want to challenge you to hide the word of God, to put scripture in your heart. And I want to tell you something. There's no excuse in today's world. Years ago, you'd have to walk around with this Bible in your hand. Now, you can walk around with this in your hand and have the Bible. How many here are willing to hold your hand up and say, I got the Bible on my phone? Anybody? Got the Bible on your phone. If you don't have it on, there's a verse. Write this down on your notes. Write U version. Y-O-U. Download the U version on your phone. They'll send you a daily verse. They'll even read it to you so you don't even have to read it. They'll read it for you. And you got it, it's like, oh, I don't understand the King James. Well, you got the NIV. Oh, I don't, how about the Holman Christian Standard Bible? Oh, how about the Revised Standard? It's got all the translations you can choose from. And the good news is, it's free. And you can't say, well, I don't have a Bible. You got a phone? Yeah, I got all my, iTunes library on my phone. I got 1,000 songs on my iTunes library. I don't have a Bible app on it. Shame on you. See, God's word. I'm going to put it in my heart. Well, I don't have a pocket. Close to my heart. Osmosis. It'll go in by osmosis. Put it in your shirt pocket. Osmosis. It don't work that way, does it? Begin to put God's word in your heart. Begin to spend time in God's word. That's your tool. That's your resource. That'll get you through those times when that temptation is there, when that battle is there. It'll get you there. It'll pull you through. It's that sword. I'm going to tell you what, you can slice Satan up with the word of God. That's what Jesus did. I mean, he just diced him all up and spit him out, man. It's like, yeah, come at me again. I don't have the power to fight Satan, but I have the word of God that has the power to defeat him. The challenge is it in our heart? So here's my next question. How about that? Is that your battle? Is that what you need to say? I'm going to focus on God's word. I'm going to get up and read. Now listen, I'm going to give you guys some outs. You don't have to read for an hour. You don't have to read a whole book a day. Because here's what I know. You start reading 5 minutes. Pretty soon you get so engrossed in it, you're reading 10 minutes. And pretty soon you're following that storyline and you're hearing God and all of a sudden you're reading 15 minutes and you're sitting there with that cup of coffee at Starbucks and it's like, man, I got to finish this. I can't go yet. Because God's word draws you in and it becomes that resource for you. Is that the one? Is it prayer? Do you need to focus on prayer? Do you need to focus on the word of God? How about here? Feed your spirit with the right people. Let me give you this. Wrong people never give you the right way. You hear me? Wrong people will never give you the right way. They will never lead you in the right way. Now, how many of us growing up, your parents always said, watch out who you hang around with? Any of your parents ever tell you that growing up? Any of you ever tell your kids that? Watch out who you hang with. You know, now the reason we did that is because we learned we were hanging with the wrong one. Okay, right? You know, we were hanging with the wrong, so we know better. We didn't listen to our parents either, did we? We need to pay attention to who we run around with. We need to pay attention to who we hang around with. Now, I want to make sure I paint a picture here for you. It doesn't mean we have nothing to do with the lost world. I got a sermon series coming up, and I'm going to talk about that. It doesn't mean I turn my back on lost people. The lady I talked to about praying with all the cancer, I don't know if they go to church at all. I have no idea. But I don't hang with them, but I'll go around them. See, there's a difference. Have you ever gotten in trouble because you were with the wrong crowd? So we need to understand. Look at what it says here. 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought. Stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. Which means that last phrase seems to imply to me they got some people who had some bad friends. And Paul minced no words here. I like this. You misled. Come back to your senses. You know, has anybody ever told you, what were you thinking? My dad told me that. You know, you do something. What were you thinking, Gary? Yeah. Well, the problem was, more than likely, guess what? I wasn't thinking. Yeah. We need to think about those people we hang around. Those people we run around with. You know, and I want to challenge us with that. We need to be aware of that. And we need to check in with those friends we have. Are they the right kind of people? Are we hanging with the right kind of people? You know, do you need a friendship upgrade? You know, we upgrade our community. Do we need to upgrade our friends? Now, I want to make sure you understand something. Here's what I want to paint a picture. It doesn't mean you go up and tell them, I just can't hang with you no more because you're a rotten, stinking sinner. No, okay, no, that's, you know, here's my point. You know, if you're struggling with alcohol and your friends will say, hey, we're going to go bar hopping tonight, guess what? You don't go. All right? You get a phone call and your friend says, hey, Krispy Kreme has the hotline on, meet me there in 5. You go. No, you don't go. It's simple, and yet it's hard, isn't it? Because sometimes we have to cut loose some friends, don't we? And that hurts. But here, let me give you a little idea real quick. Look around, because you got a lot of good friends to choose from right here. Look at this next scripture. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings that sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about a forgiveness of many sins. You know, we're here to journey together. We're here not to criticize, not to tear apart, not to beat up, not to tear down. We're here to encourage one another. Am I right? That's to be about. What I like about this verse is I read that verse. Nowhere in there does it say, go and straighten out your friend. Go and tell them everything they are doing wrong. It says, go and bring them back. Write this word down, journey. Go and journey with them. Go and with them. Go and be with them. And help them get on the right track. I get so aggravated as a pastor. Well, so-and-so's doing that. I had to tell him what he was doing wrong. If you're not willing to walk with him, then keep your mouth shut. I'm sorry. Now, nobody gave you the gift of correction. Just to tell you who? You read your Bible? See, if you read your Bible, the Holy Spirit convinced, not me. I always use this as an illustration now. Maybe I'm meddling now. But I grew up, and in the side pack of a cigarette, hopefully you guys don't smoke, just a hint, hint. 1960, they wrote on the side of a cigarette package. What does it say? Anybody? Don't smoke these because they will cause... Now, you know what's amazing to me? I smoke in cigarettes. That was written 1960. What does that say about the strength of the flesh? If that doesn't convince somebody, smoke these, you're going to die. Well, didn't the Bible say sin makes you die? Oh, never mind. Smoke these and you're going to die. And yet we still do it. We can't convince anybody. But I'm going to tell you what. You know, if I got a friend that's making some bad decisions, here's what I do. I'll go to them and I'll say, let's get through this. Let us get through this. I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to ask God to help you. And I'm going to be with you. We're going to fight this together. You're not alone. You got the Spirit and you got me. And we need to see that. And we need to recognize that. We got to walk with somebody. I like this. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Two are better off than one because together they can work more effectively. If one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone of them falls, it's just too bad. Again, I always like the way the Bible says things. If you're alone and you fall down, too bad. Yeah, I mean, you know, the Bible is really plain, you know. Come to your senses. Stop. You know, if you're by yourself, you fall down, you don't have a friend, too bad. You know, because there is no one to help them up. Who's your friend? You hear me in this church, and we talk about it. You need this church. I'm going to tell you, I need this. You might not, maybe you don't think you need it. I'm going to tell you what, I need the church. I love this place. I love you guys. It is fun. I had a great time yesterday. Yeah. We met in here, and we prayed, and we talked. You know what's fun today? Is how many people complaining about their feet. That's been fun today. That was a long walk. My feet hurt. They still hurt. You know, that's fun. I had a great time yesterday. You know? We're here for one another. It's church. I got my small group praying for wrestling through things. I can't wait. We're going to have a baptism on a Wednesday night for my small group. We're going to tell you about it later. I'm excited about these kinds of things. I got my small group. And then I got those in my life who can tell me, Gary, you're being a jerk. Yeah. Yeah. They're back there waving their hands. One of them was. Yeah. Because you know what? Be honest with you. I need that sometimes. Because I can be a jerk. You know? We need that. See, we need to be there for one another. To me, you're in the right place. If you're wrestling and you're struggling, and you're in the right place, and we need to see that. And we need to be this, and we need to walk through this. And so if somebody's stumbling around, it says, you know, pick them up. Journey with them. Don't try to correct them. Don't try to fix them. But walk with them and see what God can do. I look at my life, and there's one person I keep talking about, my cousin Linda. I got a picture with her at my brother's funeral. I got a picture standing next to my cousin Linda because it changed my life. My cousins came to my house and invited me to the youth group and got me involved in the church and got me part of the church and led me down this path until I accepted Jesus Christ. Guess who's important to me? Guess who I really appreciate? Those cousins. They're special people to me. See, we need to see that. So I'm going to ask you, is this yours? Who are you walking through life with? Do you need a friend upgrade? Do you need to change some friends and kind of pick and choose? And like I say, don't go over and tell them, well, I'm too holy now. Just, you know, I'm making some different decisions. You know, I don't do that anymore. God, I'm going to guarantee you something. You some friend changes, they're going to try to tear you down. Anybody been in that one? Well, who do you think you are? What makes you so special? Jesus loves me. That's why I'm special. No, I'm not special. He loves you too. He doesn't want you doing that either. You know, I look at people because, you know, here's one thing I realized is I never thought about to this series of messages. Something dies in sin. Guaranteed. Every time. Something will die in sin. You need to listen. Something dies. Either sin dies or something in us dies. Come to give you life and give it abundantly. But Satan has come what? To steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your life. Does something die? I never thought about it until this series of messages. Something will always die in sin. It could be peace. It could be marriages. It could be homes. It could be job. It could be finances. It could be ourselves with addiction. You guys get the picture? Something's going to die. So I want to ask you, what are you going to feed? What are you going to feed? You got three choices. Look here again. We're going to wrap it up with this verse. No temptation has overtaken you except that is common to mankind. You might think, well, nobody knows my troubles. Yeah. You know, it's all the same. And God is, say it louder, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will always provide a way out so that you can endure it. All right, you get the picture. Starve and it will die. Feed and it grows. Will you feed your prayer life? Will you feed the word of God into your heart? Will you feed your friends with one another and walk in life? So here's my question for you. And I'm going to ask you to raise hands. So everybody's got to raise a hand at one point and another. Or I don't know. I guess I'll give you a black mark. I don't know. All right. How many here is going to challenge yourself this week to walk closer with God in prayer? Would you raise your hand? All right. Thank you. How many here are going to walk closer to God and feed your soul in the Word of God? Would you raise your hand? Thank you. How many here need a friend upgrade? You just need to make some better choices with those people you're running around with. Raise your hand. Yeah. Dan's raising his hand, and it's me he's picking on. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for these and for you that they put up with me. That we love one another, Lord, and we're journeying through life together. We want to be brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, for those who raised a hand for friends, I just pray that you'll bring the right people into their life. People that will build them up, people that will encourage them, people that will journey through life with them. And just share the wisdom and the knowledge together. For each of us have strong points, each of us have weak points, that we can find strength in one another. Lord, for those who lifted their hand up on prayer, I pray that you give them a passion of prayer. That it's an irresistible urge to pray, to spend time talking with you. Not talking about closing our eyes or bowing our heads or getting on our knees, but just a time to talk and cry out to you, that you may strengthen them and encourage them and empower them and reveal the way out. Lord, I pray for those who desire for a stronger walk in the Word of God. That you'll bring it to their mind when they need it. That they'll store it there and it seems like it's so long ago and it's so forgotten. But that Scripture will come to mind just at the moment they need it. Just at the time they need it. That they'll take time to read. That they'll put the effort to memorize. And that you'll bless those efforts for the fruitful life in the Word of God that we have hidden in. Just at the time it is needed, it will draw us close. Lord, help us feed the things that make us strong in faith. For when we are faithless, you are faithful. And help us starve the things that destroy us and tear us down. In Jesus' name, amen.